This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number three of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Will Hill. Hanging with you guys on this Wednesday night. I feel like every time I look up, Will, I'm seeing somebody hit a bomb or some sort of extra base hit between the Mets and the Braves. Atlanta now has a 5-2 lead in the bottom of the seventh. In Washington, every time I look up, someone's adding a run. The Cubs are now up 9-5 in the top of the seventh in our nation's capital. And then there's our VSiN primetime game of the night. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays, where it's just 1-1. You know, if you bet the under, you're hanging out, just hoping it doesn't go to extra innings, just chilling. That is a very big game in the American League East. Boston had been surging. They were streaking in the positive direction. Now they're streaking in the negative direction, having lost four straight games. Blue Jays continue to play really good baseball. Perhaps the Blue Jays get back into this thing, only 2.5 games back right now with the final spot in the American League wild card race. So the Yankees also, too. While we're in break, they tied things up 5-5 in the Bronx between the Yankees, unless they challenged it and they took the run away. I did not see what happened there. They did not challenge it, or if they did, it was upheld. It is 5-5 in the Bronx between the Mariners and the Yankees. And taking a look at the live market over at DraftKings, and currently you have the Yankees a -126 favorite, Mariners +110 total at 13.5 is where we sit in the Bronx. So that's what's going on with that contest. But Will, we were ending hour number two talking about NFL Coach of the Year and how I was kind of applying the Athletic's Mike Sando's QB tiers to Coach of the Year, and like sort of just getting like a general consensus of how people feel about quarterbacks to then gauge who gets the credit for a team's success and applying that to the Coach of the Year betting market. And for those of you that are just joining us now, I do want to outline real quickly here before I get to the bet that I've made in this market, the three ways to win NFL Coach of the Year. So there's the improvement way, which is the most conventional way. I would say 16 of the last 24 winners dating back to 2002. I always use 2002 as a cutoff since that's when the Texans joined. That's when we went to 32 teams as opposed to the 31 that we had prior. But since 2002, 16 of the 24 winners were improvement winners. So like that's improving your team by like 5 to 6 wins year over year. That's the easiest way to probably win the award. 5 of the 24 winners were elite winners, coaches who lost like 2 or fewer games during the regular season. The last coach that fit that bill was John Harbaugh back in 2019 with the Ravens when they went 14-2. That was when Harbaugh and Lamar doubled up, did Coach of the Year and MVP. Hard to do, but if you're going to do it, you better do it with a young quarterback that has not yet burst onto the scene until that very season, which is what the Ravens were able to do. Ron Rivera also did it as well, winning Coach of the Year in 2015, the year Cam Newton won MVP. That's because they went 15-1. So like you understand what you have to do to be like the elite winner. The most famous one is 2007, Belichick Coach of the Year for 16-0. Tom Brady, of course, won the MVP that season as well. In fact, 3 of Belichick's Coach of the Year wins are all elite winners. There's 2 14-2 seasons and 1 16-0 season. But like that's like the threshold. We're talking about like 14-2 or better for being like the elite winner for Coach of the Year, which is why Sean McVay is like 50-1 to win the award or somewhere in that range. And then finally, you have your circumstance winner. And this one is one that you cannot bet before the start of the season because like you need to see the circumstance play out and you need to get the reaction and then you need to see the team start to play well. But these are the coaches that lose their quarterbacks. I would say 4 of the 24 winners have been circumstance guys. 3 of those 4 lost their week 1 starting quarterbacks to significant injuries. Most recently, 2023, Kevin Stefanski won 11 games with 5 different starting quarterbacks, was 5-1 with Deshaun Watson, 4-1 with Joe Flacco, 1-1 with PJ Walker, 1-2 with Dorian Thompson Robinson, and then 0-1 with Jeff Driscoll in week 18. Doesn't count, but it kind of does still. So 11 wins, 5 different quarterbacks. Mike Vrabel was the circumstance guy in 2021. He didn't lose Ryan Tannehill that season, but he lost Derrick Henry for 9 games, A.J. Brown for 4 games, Bud Dupree for 6 games, Julio Jones for 7, David Long for 7, Rashawn Evans for 4, Amani Hooker for 5. Like the Titans had a ton of injuries that year and still got the 1 seed in the AFC. And then the last two, 2014, Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians went 11-5 despite Carson Palmer only playing in six games. They went 6-0 with Carson Palmer, and then they went 5-5 in the games without him. 5-3 actually with Drew Stanton at quarterback, and then 0-2 with Ryan Lindley to end the year. And Ryan Lindley had to
play the playoff Lindley.
Game. Yeah, he had to start the playoff game against the Panthers, and that didn't go well.
That might be.
We'll see you later.
He might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I know our old buddy Lombardi. I think had they had him in training camp the next year with the Patriots. I remember watching him, and that was the point where Tebow was out of the league, and I was like, you know, yeah. I was kind of consensus on Tebow was like, I get it, he's limited, but you know what, he's probably better than some of these guys.
Yeah.
Lindley was awful. Lindley made you want, like, he couldn't complete a pass. That was they played the Panthers in the playoffs, and I think I lost an under on it, but boy, that guy was,
it's like a rainy game too. Yeah, it was just ugly.
Yeah, Saturday, that was what Bill Simmons calls the shaky special. Yep. That early Saturday afternoon game where they get that crappy game out of the way early on. He was one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in the NFL. And he started a playoff game, which is amazing. And then a year later or so, he's out of the NFL. Shout out Ryan Lindley. Yeah. I think San Diego State.
I believe I don't know where he went to school, but I just know he was terrible at quarterback. Funny enough, though, that was the shaky's game, as Bill Simmons calls it. That first game, 4:30 Eastern on Saturday, ends up being the NFC title game the next year in 2015. Cardinals at Panthers. That was with a healthy Carson Palmer and an MVP Cam Newton, and Carolina destroyed them in that game before they got destroyed in the Super Bowl by the Denver Broncos. The last circumstance guy is actually Andy Reid with the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2002. They went 12-4 despite Donovan McNabb missing the final six games of the regular season with a broken ankle. 4-1 with AJ Feely, 1-0 with Coy Detmer was the record there for Andy Reid. And that's how we got the momentum for what a job he has done without his quarterback. Like, so like, think about that for the circumstance guys. So like, if you want to bet one of these guys that has a really good quarterback, essentially what you're betting is, well, what if the guy gets hurt? Like Sean McVay, for instance. Yeah. Sean McVay's path to winning coach of the year is Matthew Stafford getting hurt. If you're comfortable with that bet with Stafford injured, then go ahead. Bet Sean McVay. I would say just wait for him to get hurt, because his odds will probably drift out crazy. But like, that's what you need for him to win coach of the year. It's not going to be, well, what if it's, they could also go 16-0 or 17-0 or 16-1, whatever. But like, do you really want to bet it at that price? I don't know. I feel like at that point, just bet him game to game, or just bet him to have the best record in the league, or bet him to win the Super Bowl. You know, something that's a little bit more liquid than betting coach of the year. So that's the path, the three different paths to winning the award. Now let's get to the guy that I bet. And I bet it here at Circa last night, because I just kept looking at it and I was like, you know what? I still see a path, and someone has to finish second in that division. Sign me up for Todd Monken for coach of the year at 34-1.
Wow.
It's absolutely disgusting. But my big thing with the coach of the year market, especially in the preseason, the strategy changes once we get into the actual regular season. But in the preseason, if your coach of the year bet doesn't make you want to vomit, you're not doing the exercise properly. It's how it is. Because think about the mindset you have to be in. It has to be a surprise. To steal the line from Hitch, shout out to Will Smith and Kevin James. What is the objective? To shock and awe. That is the objective with coach of the year. And if the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and we were both laughing about it, because like, the Cleveland Browns win a ton of awards because no one ever expects anything from them. They are awards magnets. Like, the Browns won two awards last year. Like, what are we talking about? like the Cleveland Browns, they were, what, 5-12? They won two awards. The year that I cleaned up in 2023, they won four. If they have any sort of success, Cleveland gets rewarded, because nobody ever expects bleep from the Cleveland Browns. If the Browns this year with Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders, if they go 9-8 and sneak into the playoffs, they go 10-7 and sneak into the playoffs as the second team, Todd Monken's winning coach of the year, guys. Sorry, it's happening. Unless McVay goes 17-0, then it's okay, bleep out of luck. But if that doesn't happen, Todd Monken's winning coach of the year. I want the guys that have that kind of upside, who don't have the high bar to have to clear. Six-game improvement for the Browns, that's a 5-6-game improvement, that's like 10-11 wins. Give me Todd Monken at 34-1 to win coach of the year. It's a bet that I placed last night here at Circa.
Wow, Wow. I like it. I hate it and I love it all at the same time.
It's gotta
I hate
be that
it.
Way.
I like it and I love it.
It's gotta be yeah, that
three
way.
Team parlay. Hate, like, and love. What's their odds to make the playoffs? Because without looking, it's definitely not 34-1. It's I know they're 20-1, I think, to win the division. Probably what, 6 or 7-1, just top of my head,
Cleveland,
to make the playoffs?
+640. +640 make like, what would you rather bet? +640 or 34-1?
And if you told me let's just say they made the playoffs. I'm going to tell you right now, I come from the future. Cleveland made the playoffs. What should Todd Monken's coach of the year odds be? Even money?
No. I think it's like -300 without even like sight unseen on anyone else. I think the only way you beat him is if like you have like the elite season. Like let's say McVay or McDonald goes like 16-1. Like that's the only way that you lose that one. The Browns,
if they
make the playoffs with Watson and Shador.
Like
the quarterback play is horrendous. So like, it's not like, I mean, first of all, ain't nobody in hell that's a voter is going to be giving Deshaun Watson any credit. Like we already know that's going off the top.
Yes.
And Shador Sanders, if he succeeds, well, it's because Todd Monken helped develop Shador Sanders. That's why I'm voting for him to win coach of the year. Like that's how these people are simpletons. And I say that with the utmost respect. Like I've sat next to them. Like we've been in press boxes together. I know how they think. I was one of them. If the Browns make the playoffs, Todd Monken is beyond live to win coach of the year. He's damn near a lock outside of an ungodly performance from the Rams, Seahawks, or whatever elite team wants to go 16-1 or 17-0.
Or like the Cardinals made the playoffs or the Jets made the playoffs. I mean, you do have to throw those caveats in there and say, well, it's unlikely. What's unlikely? The Browns will make it. But
100%.
Your point is certainly well taken.
100%. Like that's part of the equation. But I would even say still, Cardinals and Browns both make it. I'd still favor Todd Monken because everyone favors Cleveland because no one expects a damn thing from the Cleveland Browns. We'll be back with more VSiN Primetime on the other side.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So Will and I were having a conversation during the break, and I feel like we should bring this onto the air here because I think it's an interesting one. I think a lot of bettors and people who love sports are thinking about it as well. Like as we're headed to break, I said that Todd Monken would win. If the Browns make the playoffs, Todd Monken is going to win outside of like the elite season happening where it's like McVay or McDonald or Shanahan or one of these elite teams. It could be Brady or Mint or whatever. One of them goes like 16-1, 17-0. You brought up the Cardinals with Mike LaFleur. Mike LaFleur over at FanDuel is 35-1 to win coach of the year. I don't know what his number is here at Circa. Let me pull that up actually right now in the app.
You're pulling that up, I will say I only brought that up for people that are listening and maybe you want me drug tested. I only brought that up because you said, hey, if Monken wins, he's, I forget your phrase, but I was just throwing other scenarios that could possibly compete with that.
Yes.
Yeah, you said he'd be -300. I'm just thinking, hey, what if the Jets made it? What if the Cardinals made it? I'm not saying they will. The Cardinals, I have a big bet on them under 4.5 wins. That schedule's a nightmare. We're just trying to, you know, cover all our bases and think
100%.
From a narrative story percent. You know, perspective, what's possible.
So here at Circa, LaFleur is 40-1 to win coach of the year. Obviously like the Cardinals are in probably the most difficult division in football. I think most people would say like amongst like the teams who are probably likely to finish last, they have the toughest competition ahead of them with the other three teams. You have the Super Bowl champions, the Super Bowl favorites, and the 49ers who, if they could ever just stay healthy, they're probably going to win like 11, 12 games. Hell, they did it last year and they weren't even that healthy. So the Cardinals have a big hill to climb this upcoming NFL season, which is why LaFleur is such a big price. But like that's kind of how you want to be betting this. Not necessarily LaFleur, but you want to be betting on guys that are pretty gross to bet on. However, if you compare that to Arizona's price to make the playoffs, so let me pull up Circa here real quick to see the Cardinals make the playoffs price. Because once again, Mike LaFleur, is 40-1 to win coach of the year. At Circa, the Cardinals, like at FanDuel, are 20-1 to make the playoffs. What would you rather bet as a bettor? Now, when we first had this conversation, we were talking about the 35 that was available over at FanDuel on LaFleur to win coach of the year. 20 versus 40 is a little bit of a different combination. Not a massive difference, but a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
I still lean towards, I would rather just bet them to make the playoffs and get my paid out on 20-1, because you get that paid out like on New Year's Day, as opposed to sweating out what the voters are going to do and having to wait until the Thursday before the Super Bowl at NFL Honors. But I think as bettors, like, these are fair questions that you have to ask yourself. Like, I guess it's not the difference between like plus 200 and 40-1. This is 20-1 and 40-1. And like, yeah, I would love to get paid out 40, but now you have to sort it out, because like, even if they make the playoffs, what if the Browns win the division? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's going to happen, but like, you have to cover all bases. Whereas if they were just to make the playoffs, they make the playoffs, you're in. Doesn't matter, popularity contest, whatever. They're just in the playoffs. You get paid on 20-1, and you get paid much sooner, more than a month sooner than waiting on the 40.
I get it. Completely understand. How many awards bets do you have right now, NFL-wise?
Just one. Just Monk and Coach of the Year. I try to like kind of keep the bullets in the chamber, especially you do this stuff long enough here, and I'm not saying like I'm like some grizzled veteran or anything like that, but like I've been betting awards like for a decent amount of time. Like, you realize there's a lot of really good opportunities in the season. Now, sometimes you get your runaway winners, you know, like a guy will grab hold of it and then just kind of run away with the award. But hell, even last year, Matthew Stafford, after he had all the interceptions against Atlanta, I mean, look at the price you could have got on Stafford. You could have got like 4-1, 5-1 on Stafford to win MVP. And there was only 2 weeks left in the season, maybe a week left, you know, it ebbs and flows, and I think it's just something that you want to be tracking. Now, if you just wanted something to bet and just set it and forget it kind of thing, then okay, then like do your betting beforehand. But more often than not, you're going to be able to find some really good opportunities. I mean, I was betting Kyle Shanahan at monster prices last year before the Niners went on that run, just thinking about, hey, like look at all these games that they have coming up at home. Oh, they all happen to be like primetime games where he's going to be like the star of the week, essentially. Like there's an avenue for him to go out there and like grab a hold of this award, because New England has started to kind of fall back a little bit, like not completely all the way out there where it's the two seed still, but like they didn't close as strong as they were starting. So it's like, maybe there'll be a chance for somebody else here to grab some of the attention away from Mike Vrabel. And I'll go to my grave still thinking that if the Niners beat the Seahawks in week 18, I think Kyle Shanahan would have won Coach of the Year. So it didn't work out. But just something to keep in mind if you're a bettor out there. Like, you don't have to get all the awards bets in right now. These markets will be open all throughout the season. To answer your question, it's just Monken at 34-1 to win Coach of the Year. That's the only bet that I have right now. And at DraftKings, I did not move this because I didn't bet this at DraftKings, but he is half that price. He's at 17-1, which to me feels a little bit more appropriate, given that he doesn't have as high of a bar to clear as some of these other guys that are around him.
Yeah, and I went through that last year too. I had Dart 30-1 Rookie of the Year. He got to even money at one point, didn't get home. Jim Bob Cooter 250-1, the Colts offensive coordinator for assistant of the year. He got to the short shot a little under 2-1, and some of those books were very kind of posted him sparsely. That assistant coach of the year is a weird market. I think only FanDuel had it. That was our market to find, but it's as you know, you bet these long shots, and there's two parts. There's getting ahead of it, getting the best number, and then actually finishing that thing and getting it home. And sometimes that second part can be tricky.
I will say, as like an aside for assistant coach of the year, like it's an award that it's very formulaic, because it's not really like talked about a lot. And like not a whole lot of people have a lot of like opinions on it, because it's NFL assistant coach of the year. Like, I think for a lot of the voters are just like, who cares, to be quite honest. But one thing that I have realized in that award is that it's kind of like the mismatch award is how you kind of have to think about that one for assistant coach of the year. So like, just think about like who typically wins, or like think about it this way. So this award has been going.
What side of the ball is your head coach on?
Exactly. So it's like, what side of the ball is your head coach on? And you want your assistant to be on the opposite side. So this award has been going back since 2014. Here's how things have kind of shaken out. Like 12 winners, 6 of them on offense, 6 of them on defense. So no real like lean there. From a team success standpoint, though, 10 of the 12 did win the division. And the only two non-division winners were 11 win seasons, Todd Bowles and Jim Schwartz. Of course, all 12 made the playoffs. But Todd Bowles is the first ever winner of the assistant coach of the year. That's when he was the Cardinals defensive coordinator. Who was his head coach? Bruce Arians. What's his background? Offense. 2015, Wade Phillips, Broncos defensive coordinator. Who was his head coach? Gary Kubiak. What's his background? Offense. 2016, Kyle Shanahan. Falcons offensive coordinator. Who is his head coach? Dan Quinn. What's his background? Defense. Like, you kind of get the picture here with assistant coach of the year. It's like, what's the head coach's background? Okay, the assistant must be opposite of that. And it happened again last year with Mike Vrabel, who has a defensive background. Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator, he was the assistant coach of the year. Same thing with Ben Johnson, which, I mean, Ben Johnson's one, that's a little bit more of like a hodgepodge. I don't think people really see Dan Campbell as like an offensive guy, even though his background was like coaching tight ends and stuff like that. He's seen as more of like a CEO kind of head coach. And Ben Johnson was probably just overdue winning the award, so they voted for Ben Johnson in 2024. But more often than not, it's kind of like whatever the coach's offense, a coach's philosophical background is, the assistant ends up being the other side. So like, I don't have any strong opinions about assistant coach of the year yet. I'm still like in the handicapping phase. I saved that one for the last because it's just not widely available. So I don't want to spend as much time looking at that market as it stands right now. But just a nice little nugget for people to keep in mind if they're going to be betting that award. Make sure that it's a nice little mismatch. Like, they complement each other, and it's not like you're not betting on the Bears offensive coordinator to win assistant coach of the year, because that's just not going to happen.
Yep, all good tips here as we get ready for the season. So should be fun this time tomorrow night. For those of us that bet preseason, I think most people listening probably bet preseason to some extent. We'll be sweating out all this stuff. The botched special teams, the third and 15, it's incomplete. But what's this? Illegal contact, 5 yards, automatic first down. We all lose our minds. The bad beats, everything that comes with it. So hopefully, hopefully the gambling gods will be on our side here this preseason. But we'll be good to have it back. What do you say? 6 games tomorrow, right? So it should be fun.
Six games. We get to see Fernando Mendoza tomorrow, which Clint Kubiak did say, like, he's going to get some real work. It sounds like the Raiders are treating this thing pretty seriously in the preseason. Like, I know it's like first year almost feels similar to what we saw with Ben Johnson last year with the Bears, where he's like, okay, like, we're going to be playing our guys. Like, we're not going to be messing around. Like, Caleb Williams played a
winning culture,
amount.
That kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, winning culture, because it's year one. Like, it's still a winning culture. And then year two, like, we're not going to care anymore. It feels like kind of that's where we're headed with Clint Kubiak and the Raiders. Not saying that they're a 100% bet-on team, but you'll see their guys out there. I think Cousins will be out there for a little bit, and I think you'll see Mendoza out there for a lot of bit as he's the number one overall pick. So that should be a lot of fun. Hopefully Jeremiah Love gets to play a decent amount as well. Always fun watching him run the ball. But 6 games tomorrow. We got 3 on Friday and then a bunch more on Saturday. Cannot wait for the preseason. We'll get into some of those preseason bets before we close out this edition of VSiN Primetime. But on the other side, let's get you posted on what's going on around Major League Baseball. Blue Jays have the bases loaded. They're up 2-1. And also, the Cubs keep pouring in those runs. Another bomb from Alex Bregman. We discuss it next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We welcome back those of you who are watching the Circa Survivor documentary here on VSiN. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill, hanging with you guys on this Wednesday night. It looks like George Springer, with a sack fly out to center, will bring in a run. So the Blue Jays have a 4-1 lead in the bottom of the eighth in our VSiN Primetime game of the night. Real quick, before we move any further, I do want to remind folks out there who did not see the Circa Survivor documentary episode earlier tonight, that is replaying on VSiN's YouTube page. Go to VSiN Live on YouTube, and you can find all of the Circa Survivor documentaries, the last 5 episodes of the Circa Survivor documentary. You can watch them anytime. So, but thanks for hanging out with us here on this Wednesday night. Once again, Blue Jays are up 4-1. Runners on first and second here in the bottom of the eighth. Cubs have a 12-5 lead on the Nationals. The Guardians are up 6-4 against the Tigers in the top of the ninth. And I believe we're still knotted at 5 in the Bronx between the Mariners and the Yankees. But, Will, I did see this note because our friend Jeff Sunday over on Twitter, the DGen Weekly, he tweeted. He said that the Tampa Bay Rays just went 9-0 on their West Coast road trip. They swept the Rockies. They swept the Mariners. And then they went ahead and swept the Athletics earlier today. Has it ever happened before? And then Ryan Bass, who is a sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Rays, he said, The last team to do it, per Elias Sports, the 1977 Boston Red Sox. So the Rays, a team that I don't know what to do with because they're so short priced now in the market. I think the cat's sort of out of the bag here on this one, but I just continue to ask myself, are we sure this is wide open? like, are we 100? I mean, I'm watching the Red Sox get drilled right now against the Blue Jays. The Yankees will get Judge back. They'll get Bellinger back. I don't believe the Orioles. Like, that seems cute. Detroit, I think they can make the postseason. Will they be long for it? Nah, I don't really think so. Like, if I told you you could go to war with Tampa and New York at like even money or the field, what would you do?
Ooh. I would take Tampa and New York.
Yeah, I was surprised you were even contemplating. Like, to me, it's pretty easy. I don't see anyone else with the upside to make the World Series out of the American League. Tampa, they've done it all season. New York, they have the talent. The talent's been hurt, and at least they've done it before. Everyone else, I don't even know who would scare me out of the rest.
I'd be surprised if the AL West winner came. I mean, if you look at it that way, I'd be surprised if the AL West winner came out of the American League, because the Yankees do take a 6-5 lead now over the Mariners. And the Central, like, I think Detroit's live to make a run, and I wouldn't count anybody out. But base hit up the middle here by Rice. That should score another run. It's going to be 7-5 Yankees. This would be a bad loss for Seattle.
Yeah,
man. Because they're up 3-0.
This might be done.
We didn't pull the trigger on the 6-1. We're thinking, hey, maybe if they win the game, it goes down to 5-1 or
might
something.
Be 7 tomorrow.
Which would be an overreaction kind of based on one game. But you're probably getting a better number this time tomorrow, barring a comeback, because this is just not going well here for your Seattle Mariners.
Dude, the whole season has had a weird vibe, man. Like, the whole season has just had a weird vibe. I don't know what it's going on. Clearly, they're not connected. Let me refresh just to make sure nobody else won today. Ooh. In the American League West. So the Astros, I believe they were able to get it done. Or were they off today?
Rangers-Angels about to play.
Yeah, Astros beat the Giants, and then Rangers-Angels about to play. So the Astros won. So currently the Mariners are 4 games back in the loss column. If this holds, they will be 5 games back in the loss column of the Houston Astros. We'll see what Texas does later tonight, but they're going to likely, I mean, who knows? I mean, they could lose to the Angels, I guess, but like, they're currently at 60 games, 60 losses right now in the standings. Like, 5 back in the loss column is not insurmountable, but like, this team just, I don't know if they believe. I feel like they're done with the manager. Like, to me, it's like, if they did like what Phillies did or what Boston did, like fire the manager, I actually think you would get a nice dead cat bounce spot. Not because Dan Wilson's like completely incompetent. Sometimes the message just runs stale and a team is just over it. You know, like Rob Thompson's a fine manager. Alex Cora is a fine man. Like, these are good managers. But like, you know what? The message ran stale. We got to get you up out of here. I kind of think that's where we're at with the Mariners. And even though Dan Wilson hasn't been there long, it just feels like they've stopped responding to him, and the pressure in the Northwest is definitely cranking up on Dan Wilson. I'm assuming they'll wait till the end of the season, but if they want to save this season, which it is like salvageable, I think you got to do this now if you lose this one.
And I mean, I would never say like baseball, the managers are irrelevant. That's obviously not the case. There's a reason these guys have their jobs, and some guys are better than others, but of all the sports, the baseball manager compared to like the football coach for their scheme, their X's and O's, motivation's a big thing. Same thing in basketball. Baseball, you know, you go out and you execute and you just kind of write the names in the lineup. Now, there's certain things you could do, managing your bench, manage your bullpen. Again, it's more simple than just, you know, writing the names down. But baseball of all the sports is that's the least valued like sort of head coach manager position.
Yeah, because I would say like we're like what in probably the NFL equivalent of like what week 14 or something like that right now in this baseball season, you know, like it feels like it's like we're in December. It's like, it's okay. Like now like you can see the playoffs, they're right on the horizon, but there's still a decent amount of time left. That's what it feels like right now in Major League Baseball. If an NFL team fired their coach in week 14, I don't think many people would be saying, hey, maybe they could make a run. You know, like, right. It doesn't really work out that way in the National Football League. In basketball, sometimes, I mean, the Cavaliers did fire David Blatt, that went on to beat the 73-win Warriors. But, like, that was also earlier in the season. That was, like, in, like, what, December, right. January? That wasn't in March, after March Madness, or in like April or something like that, right before the postseason. So if the Mariners want to salvage this season, that's salvageable. I think they got to make a change at skipper. Or they can punt till 2027, and we'll see what happens there. But who knows? Maybe we won't even have a season. I'll tell you what we do have. That's football. It's back. And some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Will, the Red Sox are down to their final three outs. Top of the ninth. They trail the Blue Jays 6-1. Almost feels foolish to ask this question because they were on such a hot streak. But is it time to panic a little bit about the Boston Red Sox? I'm just saying.
Panic. I wouldn't use the word panic. But look, losing five in a row is not good. Certainly not good. And man, the array of results, the hot streaks, and a few teams have gone through this. Like the Red Sox have been super streaky. The Cubs, they've had a few of these, can't win and can't lose. The Marlins have gone through this. It's just, feels like more than ever, the Dodgers having a 7-game losing streak. So man, you see some crazy streaks in baseball. What are you suggesting? They're in trouble to miss the playoffs, that you would look at a yes-no market for them to miss the playoffs? You can pull it up in a second. Without looking, what number would you need on Boston to miss the playoffs?
To miss? I mean, yeah. It'd have to be like north of 6, probably. Could you give me 8-1 on Boston to miss? I don't know if they'll give you that much.
Would you pull the trigger at that price? I think we're all down. At least DraftKings is. I'll look at FanDuel.
Because, like, let's see who's – so Texas is – right now, the final wild card spot. Detroit's at least playing well, because like I want to see if there are teams that are playing well behind them. Detroit's playing well.
Right.
Minnesota's been not really. Toronto's playing well, but I don't know if Toronto could run them down.
Everything looks down.
I would say.
By the way, none of these markets are up.
Hold on, let me see. So is FanDuel not up for make miss?
No, not up.
You bet
the Boston manager plus 160 to make the playoffs, to win manager of the year. Venable's the short shot at plus 135, but awards are up. Nothing in terms of yes, no playoffs.
So I just see right now to make. I don't see them. Oh, actually, hold up. I think I might see the miss. So the Red Sox plus 670 at FanDuel to miss the playoffs. It's probably not enough.
Not enough.
Yeah, I would want like if it's 8-1, okay. Let's start looking at some schedules here. Does Boston have a tough schedule coming up? You know what I mean? Like I said, that like the gears start turning a little bit if it's 8-1, but at plus 670, it's just like I'll pass. You know, that's probably what it should be. Maybe that's like the fair price, but I don't know. They might have peaked a little bit too early. That was my suspicion during the. During the hot streak that they were on where they couldn't lose and everyone's like, oh, look at the Red Sox. And oh, look at this. It's, I don't know. Well, Contreras did draw a walk, though, so they're not dead.
There you go.
Got a runner on first here. One away. All for them to ground into a double play to wrap this thing up. I believe it was Willier Abreu that's at the plate. That looks like Willier Abreu. He is at the dish here for Boston. All right. That's what's going on in Major League Baseball. My Seattle Mariners are pathetic. The Red Sox are in danger of losing a fifth straight game. And the Chicago Cubs just keep adding on runs in the top of the ninth. We'll be back with more VSiN Primetime on the other side.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, we got ourselves a development north of the border. This is VSiN Primetime, Femi Bebfe, Will Hill. Last segment, Will and I were kicking around some ideas like, oh, what price would you need to bet the Red Sox to miss the playoffs? They were down 6-1 heading into the top of the ninth. Since then, they've scored two runs. We have runners on the corner, I believe. Tying run now at the plate, as we're going to Luis Varela now in the bullpen for the Toronto Blue Jays. So hold on to your tuchus out there in Toronto between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. So we'll keep an eye on that contest. We'll see if Boston can pull off another miraculous comeback as part of this awesome stretch of baseball they've been playing since about the end of June. But joining us right now to turn our attention to the collegiate gridiron and also maybe a little bit of golf as well, he is our VSiN teammate, betting analyst, host for Game Day Garage, Your Betting News, and Westwood One Sports. It is the one and only PJ Glasser joining us via the Progressive Guest Line, and he's on Twitter at PJGlasser9. PJ, we are 17 days away from week zero of college football. You got to be excited, man. I want to start, before we get to the excitement and stuff that you like, let's start to sip on some of the haterade. In your opinion, who is the most overrated team in the country that's thought of as like a national title playoff contending team, most overrated team, according to PJ Glasser?
I think it's Texas A&M. That would be the team that I would look to fade this season. They made the playoff last year. They had a really good season. They won 11 games. This year, the win total is about 8.5. They're about plus 155 to make the playoff, 25-1 to win it all. I'm good on A&M. I kind of think like Marcel Reed could be maybe this year what we all thought Cade Klubnik was going to be last year, where everybody loved Clemson. They love Cade Klubnik. Never really thought he was all that great. I kind of feel the same way about Marcel Reed. He's an unbelievable athlete, maybe the fastest quarterback that we have in college football, but he's just too inconsistent as a passer for me. And I think we saw last year when A&M stepped up in competition, especially against good defenses, when they played Texas and Miami late in the year, Reed, he didn't play well. The A&M offense was a no-show. And this year, the schedule is much tougher, boys. I mean, look at the road trips to LSU, Tuscaloosa, Oklahoma. Of course, you get Texas at the end of the year. So the schedule's tougher. And keep in mind, too, he loses his offensive coordinator, Colin Klein, who's now at Kansas State with the Wildcats. So, you know, all these people that like A&M again, and I do like Mike Elko. I think he's a really good coach. I'm just buying the dip on A&M. I think people like him because of Marcel Reed, and I would actually look to fade them this year.
PJ, I think one of the important questions of the college football season is Oregon and how you kind of parse the way the last three seasons have ended. And I know pro-Oregon people can say, well, we only lose to teams that either win the national title or play in the title game. That being said, they've been embarrassed in these games. Indiana embarrassed them. Ohio State's up 40-0 before the half in a rematch. And a few years before, the year before that, Washington is a 10-point dog, absolutely runs Oregon off the field with a chance for Oregon to make the college football playoff and Knicks to win the Heisman. Do you dismiss that? Is it something? Is it nothing? And what are your big picture thoughts here on the Ducks?
I'm glad you brought up Oregon, Will, because Femi just asked me who I thought was an overrated team. Like, isn't Dan Lanning kind of turning into an overrated coach? I think he's very good. But to your point, he doesn't win any big games. I mean, when DeBoer was at Washington, like you said, beats him. You know, he's Cignetti twice last year, dominated him. I think you could argue his biggest win was when they won the Big Ten title game against James Franklin and Penn State. So congratulations beating James Franklin in a big game. Just about everybody does that. But look, the roster's loaded. Dante Moore, I think, is the best quarterback in the country. So there's no doubt that he puts together a great roster. He's a good coach. They got maybe the best defensive line in college football this year. But again, like, can the man win a big game? It's like, for whatever reason, there are certain quarterbacks, certain coaches that we give passes to. And it's just because we love the personality. We love, you know, the social media clips and how he fires up his team and how exciting Oregon is to watch. It just feels like we give Dan Lanning a pass. But again, the expectations for Oregon is to win the Big Ten this year and compete for a national championship. And it just feels like if they were to lose to a Texas or an Ohio State or a Georgia, like, he's just going to get a pass for it. And it's a reason why I can't buy all the way in on Oregon, because I just have a hard time believing that a guy who can't beat the best teams and the best coaches all of a sudden is going to probably need to do that like three times if he wants to win a national championship. So Oregon, I think they make the playoff. I think they got a shot to win the Big Ten, but like, big picture on the Ducks, I'll pass on them.
Wow, PJ calling Dan Lanning West Coast James Franklin, essentially. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Befe, Will Hill, hanging out with our VSiN teammate PJ Glasser, betting analyst, host for Game Day Garage, your betting news, Westwood One Sports. And he's on Twitter at PJ Glasser 9. You mentioned Colin Klein earlier in the interview. He's now the head man over at his alma mater, Kansas State. What do you make of the Wildcats this year in that Big 12, which obviously Texas Tech is the top of the heap? But outside of that, I mean, BYU's getting a bunch of buzz. It seems like there's some room for a team to be a sneaky dark horse in that conference.
Look, you guys know this. I mean, doing all these shows and researching these teams, right? When you're kind of doing your initial prep for college football or NFL or whatever it may be, you kind of look at a team one or two times and you don't think anything of them. And then they start coming up in conversation a little bit more and you have guests on and you start talking about and all these sorts of things and they start to grow on you. And that's kind of been Kansas State for me because I've done the Avery Johnson experience the last couple of years and it has not been fun, but I'm going back to the well one more time and it is because of Colin Klein. If Chris Klieman was still the head coach for Kansas State, they'd be a total pass for me because I know what they'd look like. I know what Avery Johnson would look like at quarterback and I'm good. But how many times do we see in football, right? I mean, you can bring up 100 different scenarios, whether it's Jared Goff going from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, Darnold going from the Jets to KOC, whatever you want. Sometimes when a quarterback just gets that new coaching, it can unleash them. And that's always been the key for Kansas State. You know they're going to be able to run. They're going to play pretty solid defense. They're going to be good in the trenches. But can they get that quarterback play to take them over the top? And if Colin Klein can find that with Avery, I think they got a shot to win that league this year, you guys. And the way the schedule sets up, no Texas Tech, no Utah, no BYU. On paper, they avoid the top three teams in the league. That's a big reason why their win total is so high at 8.5. So I took over 8.5 for Kansas State on the win total. I took a shot for them to win the Big 12 at 18-1 because I just like the upside on if Colin Klein can kind of find that something in Avery Johnson and turn him into the quarterback that a lot of us thought he would be the last couple of years.
PJ, I know everyone's terrified to bet against Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, and rightfully so, but if you're making the case, I think plus 38 in turnovers the last 2 years combined. He doesn't have the same quarterback. Hoover can be a little turnover prone. Where do you stand here with the defending national champs in the last couple minutes here?
The way I'm betting Indiana, Will, is I like Hoover to win the Heisman Trophy. You know, I think they make the playoff. I think they could have a shot again at winning it all. I mean, they're going to be really good again. But I think it's just this idea of people don't think an Indiana quarterback's going to win it twice in a row, right? Like we saw Lincoln Riley do it at Oklahoma, going back-to-back in the Heisman race. And I just think the way Cignetti's teams are built, in the fact that they're always going to take care of business against the teams that they should. They're going to run up the score. You mentioned they don't turn it over. And Hoover, I mean, he was awesome at TCU, you guys. Like, he would fill up the stat sheet. It was just the turnovers. It was the recklessness. If Cignetti can rein that in and he can still have all the stats and decrease the turnovers, you know they're going to win a lot of games and they're going to be in the championship picture. I think Hoover's got a great shot. So I think because it's this idea of Indiana's not going to have back-to-back Heisman winners, you're getting maybe a little bit better of a price than you should. I think he's a good bet at 16-1 to win the Heisman. So that's how I'd bet the Hoosiers this year.
Last 45 seconds, PJ. Anybody that you like at St. Jude this week?
Yeah, I'm going with Matt Fitzpatrick, you guys, at 22-23-1 to win it. Isn't it funny how the entire world was on him at the Open Championship? Everybody loved Matty Fitz, and he misses the cut. We haven't seen him since that event, and now I haven't seen anybody that likes him. And those are when I tend to like to buy in on golfers, especially when the price gets a little inflated. Before the Open, the reason so many people liked him was he had three top five finishes in three of his last four events. So, yeah, he didn't play great at the Open, but this is a course where he's finished in the top six three times before. It should set up really well for him. I also like Cameron Young, who's been great in these signature events this season at 22-1. He would be another guy that I would attack. And Patrick Cantlay, I think I've been on with you guys before where I've talked about there are just certain courses where Cantlay's an auto bet, top 20. He's a very much a course form kind of guy where he shows up the same events and plays well. This tends to be one of them. So like Fitzpatrick and Cam Young in the outright top 20, and then I'll take Cantlay in the top 20 as well.
That is college football, the FedEx Cup playoffs with our guy, PJ Glasser, our VSiN teammate, betting analyst, host for Game Day Garage, your betting news, and Westwood One Sports. Check him out on Twitter at PJ Glasser 9. PJ, be well. Good luck with the bets. Football, it's almost here, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Almost here, boys. Good talking to you as always.
That is the Glass Man, PJ Glasser, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. We'll update you guys on the big league scores when we come back to begin hour number 4.